I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Please be advised. This podcast contains explicit language and mature themes.
This is The Shadows.
Episode 5.
An argument that should be simple.
I get to fall asleep beside Charlie every single night and wake up beside him. When I wake up and become overwhelmed with the dread of being alive, Charlie holds me. Until it goes away and I can find the will within me to face the world. Charlie's dread manifests in different times of the day.
It's never ever too late.
Okay.
Don't worry.
He keeps it in, but I can tell he's feeling it when he gets really obsessed with fixing something that doesn't need to be fixed. He's the kind of person who likes to distract himself with a purpose. And I do my best to remind him that he's good and he's talented and that there's another great work of art within him. A better one than the last one.
The Henson is not the only game in town, even though everyone says it's the only game in town. It's not. We'll make a new game in town.
We love talking about the work that we make and see and pretending like we're the most important puppeteers on the face of the earth and that we know something that everybody else doesn't. If he gets an animation contract and we have to make 27 paper dolls, we cut them out together.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to set a timer for 2 hours.
Yes.
If I have a performance in a huge theater and I don't know the first thing about how a professional lighting board works, he downloads the latest lighting board manual from the internet and reads it cover to cover. We're twice as smart as we were as individuals.
Caitlin and I go biking. I'm exercising again. We meditate together.
You know how, like, when you breathe, you feel kind of sparkly here?
We take hallucinogenic drugs together.
Caitlin, I am your father.
I like taking care of her, you know? Fixing her bike, fixing her computer, troubleshooting her technical issues, showing up at all of her performances, seeing her career take off, seeing her at puppetry conferences and saying the same things over and over again, seeing her at parties and saying the same things over and over again. I don't mind. I kind of like it.
The joy of making a sacrifice for the one you love.
Do you want to go to Janice's party tonight?
No.
Okay, let's stay in.
The joy is the feeling of putting someone else's needs before your own.
Are we hanging out tonight? What are we doing?
I was kind of thinking I'd just stay in and, you know, be with my mind, be in my alone place for a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
Why don't you just come over?
Okay, that's what I want.
Okay.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
The act of depriving oneself for the benefit of someone else. Depriving oneself for a greater cause. Love. It's been 2 years since the Devon debacle. Charlie and I now speak in our own language.
Hey, Caitlin, you're not wearing a bra.
He calls my bra a bra.
Bra. I like that, bra.
My best friend Sharon says to me, everyone's actually a weirdo if you get close enough.
Weirdness is one of those things that everyone thinks, like, you use it to feel special about yourself or unique, but even the most normal-seeming people inside, they're weird. They're as weird as you are. They're just not obsessed with their own weirdness in the same way.
I've created 1,000 nicknames for him.
Chalinda.
Cha-cha.
Prince Charles, how is your...
Hey, Chazzy Star.
Mr. Parks.
Hey, Charlapy. Hey, Chaz, what's up?
Chuck Poo.
No.
You don't like it?
No.
Things I've learned about Charlie. He doesn't like being kissed on the neck.
She uses dice to help her make decisions.
He doesn't like it when the bathroom light is on because it makes a humming sound and it wastes energy.
Her favorite thing is when you make a gift or leave a letter in a place she isn't expecting, or if you leave it somewhere overnight for her to find in the morning.
He always sits down to tie his shoes.
She likes drinking coffee as soon as she wakes up.
He doesn't really like being told he's beautiful because he gets told that a lot.
She doesn't like being told her ass is amazing because she gets told that a lot.
He loves it when I don't wear a bra.
She likes being fingered over top of her underwear.
I'm now in my first official long-term monogamous relationship. I hope with all of my soul that it can survive the trauma it incurred in its early development. I have to believe that all loves incur trauma, and all loves can bounce back, just like babies. All of us who had fucked up things happen to us in our youth. We grow up and spend our lives figuring out how to handle the ways we're fucked up. Maybe that's how it will be with this love.
The first gifts we give each other, I gave her a bike helmet.
That I never use. I give him a tape of a recording of me reading a diary entry I wrote with a long list of all the things that I love about
him. That I never listened to.
Hey, Charlie, Josephine and her friends are having a few people up to the cottage this weekend. You want to go?
So, my birthday's coming up. It's this May 2-4 weekend. You know, the one where everybody goes camping and drinks a ton of beer and acts ridiculous.
That sounds fun, I think, but...
I wanted to spend it alone with KP, but... She wanted to go camping with her weird friends.
Is this you saying no, that you're not going to come?
That means mushrooms.
You should go if you want.
And running around the forest naked and all kinds of other shit that I would rather not do.
It's not the same if I go by myself. I want you to come with me. We're at my friend's cabin in the woods. Charlie's birthday just so happens to be on my favorite holiday. May 2-4, the camping holiday.
So, just, I'm merely saying these are lovely chocolates.
The last 2 years we introverted out, and this year I really, really wanted to go and camp and do drugs with my friends. These are my favorite people in the world, artists who are completely uninhibited. These are people with whom you can break into song on the street with. People who hug for too long. People who end up in cuddle piles at the end of the night. People who ride in the back of a stranger's pickup truck. People who bow to the moon on the beach. People who fall in love at first sight. People who look at life and think, this is a magical opportunity.
I appeal to a very acute experimental sensibility.
These are the people who make me feel like I'm living the myth of being an artist. And when I'm around them, I get to be my favorite version of myself. The version of myself that sees beauty in everything. The version of myself that dares to indulge in that beauty. The version of myself that dares to create it and share it with the world. Sharon is lying on the floor, letting a loud baby scream fly from her mouth. Charlie squeezes my hand. I squeeze his back. This is the very frontier of his comfort zone. Through his eyes, I see these people as completely ridiculous, not in a good way, self-indulgent, strange for strange's sake. For the first time, I see that these are the kinds of people that probably often make other people uncomfortable. No one asked you to sing in the street.
No one asked you to wear that weird hat. You think you're doing me a favor, but all you're doing is drawing attention to yourself and begging the world to pay attention to you. You're imposing yourself.
I desperately want to lie on the floor and scream like a baby. Let loose. Play. Pretend. Make sounds I never heard myself make. But I know that it would make Charlie feel abandoned. The last thing he needs is his sole social anchor in the room, abandoning him. I stay close.
Can we go?
I don't want to go.
Yep. This is just as bad as I was worrying it was going to be. They've not stopped making quote-unquote music since we got here. Caitlin squeezes my hand. I guess there's a way in which it's actually really lovely to see them bringing this out in her. this thing that makes her so joyous and luminous and beautiful.
No, I'm good, thanks.
I know she thinks she's doing a good job of hiding her disappointment, that I don't want to be unborn or reborn, birthed. I don't know. I just don't work like that. I mean, the only time I feel truly uninhibited is when I'm by myself, turning my head inside out for myself. I just can't do it. I can hear Caitlin's voice in my head.
I love being around wild
people. These kind of people give everyone else permission to be themselves, to be uninhibited, to stop editing yourself and tap into something primal. It's not a performance. It's the opposite of a performance. Maybe it won't be so bad. I bet I could be baby. It's true that sometimes when I hear babies screaming on the subway, there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, I feel you, baby. This is what my insides are doing right now. Maybe it would feel good. Maybe it'd be a nice release.
You know, we're gonna get going, actually. Right, Charlie? You wanna go? Let's go.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
We're gonna go and be in bedroom.
Okay, bye guys.
Love one on one. It was fun hanging. Bye. Yeah,
see you later.
I feel like a total asshole.
Cool. I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of 6 darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. You understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you sing to me?
Yeah, sure. I don't really have a...
Make something up.
Make something up.
Yeah.
Caitlin, go to sleep. Like you've been anesthetized.
My mission at first was to help Charlie become the version of himself that he is with me out in the world. But over time, as I kept failing at that mission because it's not mine to complete, I started to become addicted to the fact that he was only able to be this way with me. It made him captive to me. And I loved that he was my captive. As I say these words, I'm filled with disgust.
And you're sound asleep. Oh, let's call it sleep, because it's not really sleep, it's unconsciousness.
An argument that should be simple.
What?
The light.
What the hell is your problem about the light?
You leave a room, you turn the light off.
An argument that should be simple.
That should be close to meaningless.
You're terrified of life. You're like...
Really fast.
Like, really what it comes down to is utter fucking selfishness.
From 0 to 60, as they say.
You're a coward.
Really, you're just an attention whore.
How are you going to feel when you're, like, on your deathbed thinking, wow, I stared at my computer a lot?
You know what? I'm going to sit on my deathbed and think, at least I didn't leave a trail of destruction.
Neither of us has ever or will ever say these things out loud to each other. In reality, the fight is much quieter. The anger is just beneath the surface.
KP.
But we're angry.
You left the bathroom light on.
Because we're not fighting about the light at all.
I'm extremely uptight. Bathroom light on.
So I'm selfish.
I'm uptight about this, and
It's, I guess, just about everything, and it sucks, and I know that it holds me back, and it holds you back.
You're going to be picking up my shit and taking care of me while I do my work, and you miss deadlines for the rest of your fucking life.
Why does it bother you so much? I don't understand.
Because it's wasteful, and because...
I do other things. Why can't you just be the light turner offer?
We're fighting over what we've given up for one another. And what we're afraid that we'll go on to give up. Over time, these small sacrifices that once felt so delicious to make build up into a dark shadow that hangs over the relationship. Things that you actually need but haven't been getting, they transform into resentment, blame that you exact upon your person and yourself for a life not lived.
You guys have been married for 20, 25 years?
33 years.
What?
We're old school.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get into this, but like, why do you guys think that you're still together? There must have been moments where you thought, like, should we keep going? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to, like, challenge the love that you have for each other or anything, but I just, you know, you can still love somebody and decide not to keep going, you know?
The thing is... Yeah, that you have a common vision, and we both love the common vision, you know, what being married and what staying together gives us.
When you ask the question, can you think of a time when you felt, should we keep going? When you're at that point, it's not we anymore. It's I.
But so, like, can you tell me... People always say that there's so many sacrifices involved in being married or whatever. Like, what are those? You know what I mean? Like, when you choose one person, when you make a choice, you're going down one path and you're saying no to all the other paths. Like, do you ever think about those other paths? Not even just other people, but, like, lives you could have lived.
Well, the thing, the way we see it is that you're saying... yes to one thing, and it opens a whole bunch of other doors. We don't think about all the other doors that are closed. The idea that you can't have your cake and eat it too. You know, people that have affairs and they keep it secret, that whole secret thing, that's bullshit. You know, no matter how much you try to hide it, you're kidding yourself. It will change your relationship, and it won't be a good change, you know? There have been lines that if I followed them, possibly could have led to, you know, an extramarital affair. Heartbeat, pitter-pat of basically lust. It's not worth it to me, you know? That's not worth losing your mom and losing my relationship, the richness that I have with Nancy Prest, my wife, you know?
Why are you guys happy?
Who said we're happy?
I spend days, weeks, training my hand to turn off the bathroom light without me telling it to. The same way that I've trained it after so many lost wallets and cell phones and purses and keys to put those types of things back in their place without thinking about it. My hand finally starts doing it. As soon as I flush the toilet, it just goes to the light. It's been months now since I forgot.
Hi. Oh my God, I love this song.
Well, mademoiselle.
Yes.
Would you care to dance?
I would care to dance. Mm. Oh!
I like that you're a little bit shorter than me. I've always liked it. No, we're a puppetry power couple. Does that even exist?
It doesn't now.
This year at Christmas, I gave her a tiny notebook with a drawing on the front that's just her style.
that I write in every single morning.
Hand-drawn, old-looking, romantic.
I give him a cardigan that I promise I will never steal or stain.
That I wear every day.
That is just his style. Really nice fabric, classy, ash-colored.
I'm not sleepy, but I have such an early morning tomorrow. Can you sing to me?
yeah, sure. But even your drool will dry someday. Maybe by the time you wake up from your quote-unquote sleep. Yes, your quote-unquote sleep. Because we all know it's unconsciousness.
This was episode 5 of The Shadows. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at TheShadowsCBC and follow the real life Caitlin Prest at Caitlin Prest. This episode was written, directed, and produced by Caitlin Prest. Production and sound design help from Phoebe Wang. Mitchell Akiyama appeared as Charlie, and you also heard cameos from Monique Laborde, Sharon Mashihi, Greg Prest, Nancy Prest, and Natalie Prest. The Shadows team is Caitlin Prest, director, Phoebe Wang, senior producer, Sharon Mashihi, editor, Yasmin Maturin, associate producer, Olivia Pasquarelli, digital producer, Shani Aviram, composer, and associate sound designer. Arif Nourani is our executive producer, Tanya Springer is senior producer of CBC Podcasts, and Leslie Merklinger is senior director of audio innovation. Our advisory board is Dylan Ghosh, Mooj Zaidi, and Jonathan Mitchell. Special thanks to Greg Wong and Ray Dooley.
And now you're asleep in your dream, and asleep in your dream. And you're asleep in your dream, and you're asleep in unconsciousness. Hey. Don't tell me that actually worked. Actually worked.
No, it didn't. I feel ready to go to sleep now.
Okay.
Are you sleepy?
That did not put me to
sleep. It didn't put you to sleep.
No, that actually took a lot of effort.
Oh, well, you did a good job.
Thank you.
I liked it. It's one of your best, actually. You wake me up in the morning?
Yeah, well,
you have to get up at 7.
I know, you didn't set an alarm.
It's on, but I'm worried it's not gonna work.
Oh, okay. Should I set an alarm too?
Yeah.